put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on that tree, but you shall bury him the same day. For a hanged man is accursed by God.
Yes, amen. Can it be? Time right now, Lord, we can easily fall into that. But Lord, I thank you again.
ask for your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for the persecuted church, Jesus, that you would bless, that you would give them joy, that you would give them courage to stand for you, that they would not falter, that you would give them courage, and that you would give them boldness in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Janet Kirk's brother, has a diagnosis of terminal cancer, and he's in the Holy Land. And Lord, I pray you'd heal him, that you would bless him. Thank you for the strength to go. And Lord, we just pray blessings on Joe and healing in that body in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the testimony of Darlene. We've been praying for her for months. Thank you that she was able to see her children yesterday, that there's been a tiny bit improvement in those lungs. She's on the list for a lung transplant. And Lord, you are the God of miracles. And Lord, we pray healing to those lungs, all scar tissue to go in the name of Jesus, all inflammation to go in the name of Jesus. We pray for a creative miracle for Darlene in those lungs, this healing on her in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the healing that you've given to Fran, that she's here this morning, and her words, Lord, she took a turn for on Friday night. And Lord, we just give you all glory, all honor, and all praise for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for those among us that are grieving, the Showalter family, Lord, Gordy, Carolyn Dial, the Joe Davis family, Jesus. We just ask your comfort, your peace. We declare your word over them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I thank you for the generosity of this congregation. Lord, I just bless them, and I bless their generosity, Lord. I thank you for that. We pray for Philip Provart, Lord, a stroke. We ask healing on Philip in the name of Jesus. We pray for Pam Pereira, Lord, that you'd bless her, that you'd strengthen her body, that you would heal her and restore her. We bless Bonnie Williams this morning in Jesus' name. That you would bless Bonnie and strengthen her. Lord, I thank you for JT Ingram, that he's here, that Lord, I just thank you for the healing that you've given to JT. We ask your continued, Lord, grace and strength on JT. We pray
curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith.
Testimony and not loving their lives unto death. And I've been focused on the blood of the Lamb and God's love, and thinking about it as two pillars. God's love is one. We cannot doubt his love. He sent Jesus because he loves us. It's in the Old Testament. It's fulfilled in the New Testament. God is love, and he loves us. He loves us. And the second pillar that I want, and I've talked around this the last several weeks, but I want to get it hard today, that we have forgiveness of sins through his blood. The enemy wants to think, well, you're not really loved. No, you're not really forgiven. And we, so many of us as Christians, we name the name of Jesus, but we walk in condemnation. We walk like we're, like just like there are chains around us. And that is not what Jesus died for. And I want to look at some, as I've done in the past with love, today I just want to, and I'm just highlighting it. There are other ones, but I just want to highlight a few that are more on the peripheral. I'm not going to cover Isaiah 53 today, which is beautiful and powerful, but some of the other ones, Old Testament promises of God's forgiveness that are maybe you're not as familiar with. They're kind of on the periphery, and I want to look at those this morning. How do we overcome in a dark, dark world? By the blood of the Lamb. What does that practically look like? In my preaching class, they always told us, you really want, you know, your first 5 minutes, 7 minutes of a sermon are really important, because if you don't hook people in on that, you're going to lose them. And I'm going to start this morning in Leviticus. Hang in here with me. We all can just get lost and our eyes glaze over in Leviticus. But the law is laid out, and I just want to talk about the blood. And the blood and sacrifices actually started in Genesis. It didn't start with the law. In Genesis chapter 3, when after they sinned, what does God do? God goes looking for them in Genesis chapter 3. Where are you? Genesis 3:10. Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And so the pronouncements, the judgments come down on man and woman and the serpent. And then there's a really interesting scripture in verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. How did he make those garments of skins? He had to shed blood to do that. So, and then you have Noah, and so they had sacrifices. So sacrificing was not just something that came with the Mosaic law. They had been doing this in Genesis. And you get to Deuteronomy, you get to Leviticus, and the law is laid out. And I just really briefly, I promise, briefly, but we lose sight of what Jesus did and what he fulfilled. And if you're doing those Bible programs, you know, you're reading and you get in Leviticus, all of us kind of like, when we get here. But there's a point. There's a point to it. Leviticus. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 3. Talking about peace offerings. If his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he offers an animal from the herd, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall throw the blood against the sides of the altar. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if anyone sins unintentionally in any of the Lord's commandments about things not to be done, and does any one of them, if it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people, then he shall offer for the sin that he's committed a bull from the herd without blemish to the Lord for a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, lay his hand on the head, and kill the bull before the Lord, and the anointed priest shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 14. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if anyone commits a breach of faith and sins unintentionally in any of the holy things of the Lord, he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation a ram without blemish out of the flock. He shall make restitution for what he's done. The priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it shall be forgiven. Do you see a theme in all of that? You sin intentionally. You sin unintentionally. You have offerings for guilt offerings. You have offerings for sin. You have burnt offerings. You have all of these offerings, and all of them, they take an animal and they sacrifice it, because without blood there is no forgiveness of sins. And this law was laid out. Talked in the weeks past about the Passover, that God said that for you, Israel, this is for all, this is for time immemorial. You shall do this for time immemorial. And they're offering, and the door just opened. Welcome, Spirit of God, breath of God, come. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. It's just the wind. It's just the wind. But the blood and the covenant and what they were supposed to do. And we have some beautiful passages of Scripture. Psalm 103 on forgiveness. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of your sins. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. You come down to verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 103. And the psalmist is saying, as far as the east is from the west, so far have you thrown our transgressions from us. Isn't that a beautiful promise? How far is it from the east to the west? God's forgiveness is, he forgets it. He forgets it. And you have this beautiful promise in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. Let's turn there. Isaiah 49. She should have no compassion on the son of her womb. Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Y'all, that's old covenant. I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. And God says, your walls are ever before me. And God is saying to the nation of Israel that I see you. I haven't forgotten you. Your enemies are coming against you. But your walls, Jerusalem, I've got you. I see you. And we would do well to remember that in this day with the shaking that's going on. His eye is on the righteous. He's walking with us. He's with us. I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. I wonder when that was fulfilled. Isaiah 118. He had all these sacrifices. And in Isaiah, God comes to the people, and he says this, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates them. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. But God, you laid all those out for the people. You're the one who instituted them. And God said, I'm sick of it, because you're doing it. You're doing all these things, and yet your heart is far away from me. In verse 18 of Isaiah 1, God says, come now, let us reason together. It's really interesting to me that some of our translations say reason together, because that word there is argue it out. Let's argue this out. Let's struggle. Let's wrestle with it. God is coming to these stubborn people, and the people that are rote, the people that are just kind of going through the motions, and God says, no, let's argue this out. You think you're okay? You think you're not in rebellion? I've got something to say to you. Let's talk about this. Let's argue it out. Let's make a judgment on all this. And God's saying, come, let's talk. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Beautiful promises. Beautiful, beautiful promises. Psalm 40 was my quiet time this week. And I'm going to read it. sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I've come, and the scroll of the book, it is written for me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. It's really interesting that God is saying, the psalmist is saying, even though these laws have been instituted, the laws of the blood sacrifice, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The psalmist gets it, and he gets it. He said, God, more than just an offering, more than all of that, you want our heart. You want full surrender. You have opened my ears, and I want to do your will. We have a beautiful promise in Ezekiel chapter 36, where Ezekiel's prophesying, and he said, I'm going to take from you your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to put my law in your heart. And the problem with the law is they tried to do it in their own strength, and they failed repeatedly, 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 repeatedly. And God has all of these sacrifices. And the beauty, when Jesus tells the disciples, I have longed to celebrate this Passover supper with you. I've longed to do that. Jesus is saying, I am the Passover lamb. I am it. And you come to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. It makes me sad when I hear people, and I know what they mean. I know what they mean. When they say, oh, well, the old covenant, we don't need to worry about the old covenant. We're just going to think about the new covenant. We're going to talk about grace, 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 grace. That's good. But y'all, the old covenant, the sacrifices, we will miss the point of what Jesus did if we just throw that out. Look at what the writer of Hebrews has to say. Hebrews chapter 9. Now, even the first covenant, the Old Testament, had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which the lampstand, the table, and the bread of the presence, it is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold. Verse 6, the priest would go regularly into that section, performing their ritual duties, performing the sacrifices, but into the most holy place, only the priest goes, and he only once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself, for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing. Verse 11, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, which is what Leviticus was talking about, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. Verse 22, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus came, and his blood was shed. Think about that for a moment. Just celebrated Christmas, the incarnation, the one that spoke the worlds into existence, was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a young woman and was born. Born of God. And this one who was born of God, his blood was offered for our sins. All of those Old Testament, when you read Leviticus, all of those sacrifices are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. there's a line out of Charles Wesley's hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." And Charles Wesley wrote, and he said that he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the phallus clean. His blood availed for me. When we come and we gather here, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper, and we're going to take in the blood of Jesus Christ, that is not just a ritual. It's not just a game. It is a game changer in overcoming darkness, in overcoming sin. Because when we do that, His Holy Spirit comes in and He changes us. Nicodemus, this ruler, comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, how I want to be part of your kingdom." And Jesus says, "You have to be born again." It's astounding to me that in the 21st century, that the Church of Jesus Christ, so many of us, we struggle. We struggle with sin. We struggle with addictions. We struggle with shame. And why do we do that? Well, it's because we have yet to fully experience and understand the blood of Jesus Christ and what it bought for us. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If we accept what Jesus did, we are new on the inside. And for some of us, because of patterns and because of addictions, we just need Christians to lay their hands on us, and we need to be set free. We're like Lazarus coming out of the tomb that still has grave clothes on him, and we need to pray for one another so that we can walk in complete and total freedom, because that's what Jesus died to give us. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. His blood that heals, His blood that forgives, His blood that cleanses our consciences, His blood that washes away all shame, all condemnation. His love and forgiveness go hand in hand. When you look at songs that were born out of revivals in years past, you have, just look at the Wesleyan revival. "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing My Great Redeemer's Praise." It's talking about God's forgiveness and His freedom. "Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on my behalf appears." Another beautiful Charles Wesley hymn, all singing about the blood. You have the revival down in Brownsville. And what were some of down in the 90s? And you had songs coming out of that revival that had to do with the bride making herself ready and Jesus coming back, and it all circling around the blood and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Church, we need to look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. And remember the blood of Jesus that sets us free, that forgives us, that heals us. It's more than just a ritual. Jesus fulfilled all of those Old Testament promises. Have you experienced it? He experienced it recently. His love, His forgiveness. just receive everything you died to give us in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Pray that today, this afternoon, tonight, this week, Lord, you would open our eyes, that we would have dreams and visions, Lord, that we would have a revelation of the Lamb that was slain, that we really are forgiven, that we really are engraved on the palm of your hands, that our sins really are washed as white as snow. We were red, Lord, we were guilty, but we're washed as white as snow. Lord, I thank you that as far as the east is from the west, that you have forgiven us.